but I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott!
Welcome to 250. I'm Danielle. You're just going to always do this to me. We're here with Daniel and Erica, who are just being silent because they're the worst.
I was waiting for Daniel to say his name.
Why do I have to go second?
She's always third.
I'm always third. It's the rule.
It's because of the Danielle, Erica
yes,
thing?
I like hearing you say your names together.
Because they're similar.
All right, fine. I'm Daniel.
I'm Erica.
Yes, and we watched Back to the Future.
We did, but you... Can I give more intro feedback?
Go.
I feel like there should be more time between when the podcast starts and when we say what movie we watched.
Should I...
Would to you build like, suspense.
Because, it's not on the title or anything.
Well, like, but also, like, I don't know. It seems like there should be a little bit of intrigue in our introductions.
I'm sorry.
One doctor. One puffy vest.
Come up with a riddle.
One DeLorean.
One disgraced nuclear physicist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, guess what this movie is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, everyone would be able to guess.
I'll do the suspense. Start it over. I have an idea.
Right. Okay, just go. Just go for it.
No, I gotta go. Welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Erica. One puffy vest, one DeLorean, one discreet nuclear physicist, some very racist portrayals of Middle Eastern men.
Yeah.
Guess this film.
So I think the puffy vest should have been last in that list for comedic effect.
True.
Just a couple of notes on yours.
Yeah.
Should
but
I
like,
start over again?
No, that's fine. I think this
Take
whole
three.
Thing is great.
Awesome.
I think this whole thing is great. This whole thing should be in there. But, like, I think that's how we should start a podcast.
Yeah,
with Erica giving a list.
Oh, yeah, I will do that.
The high points of the movie.
I will be in charge of the suspense list every single time.
Building suspense. Okay.
That's awesome.
Okay, so yeah, if you didn't know, we watched Back to the Future.
We watched Back to the Future.
Should I clarify my list now?
No.
Okay.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, you're going to say, the puffy vest was worn by Doogie, or
Doogie.
No, not Doogie Howser.
Doogie Howser.
Michael Fox?
Michael J. Fox.
Playing, what was the kid's name?
Marty McFly.
For someone who loved this film so much, you should really know more about the characters.
This was the first time Daniel had watched
Back to the Future. I had never watched Back to the Future.
How? Danielle, how many times have you seen Back to the Future before this viewing?
Like, innumerable times.
Like at least eight.
Yeah,
I was like high 8 to 10 range.
Here's the thing: we always watch movies that I've never seen because I've seen no movies.
But it's not like a that movie's notoriously good, but I just haven't seen it. It's like Back to the Future is like always on everywhere all the time.
Well, like literally on ABC. Freeform.
Yes,
all the time now.
Wait, Freeform? Is that what they called ABC?
Yeah, they
Family
rebranded
now?
ABC Family to Freeform.
They did a terrible job. They're like, yeah, Freeform. Because
we're cool,
young
now.
Adults and shit, and I'm just like, what? No.
Why? What was the?
Care.
What was the?
Maybe
because it was like ABC Family, so it was like misleading because they had like Pretty Little Liars, which is pretty salacious. So
that's.
You know.
I mean, that's fair.
But
it is. It was a confusing network name before.
Yeah.
But I feel like they didn't make it any more.
They really.
You know, they didn't make it clearer. They made it more confusing.
Yeah, they're like, I don't even.
Now it's like
ABC
I don't know
Family
what this
go.
Is. Like,
speaking
yeah.
of things that are unclear, this podcast is about. The film Back to the Future.
It is about
so,
Back to the Future.
Should we just go around and say kind of what we thought? Or
sure.
We should do our little plot synopsis
yes,
first, right?
Yeah.
This
so,
is a new thing we're doing.
New
here.
Segment.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew!
I liked it. Thank you. Thank you for the intro.
It's called We Tell You What It's About so that you're an informed listener.
No.
Yep.
It's called We Read What People on IMDb thought it was about.
These are very long titles.
IMDb debrief
it's
is
like
what
the,
we're going to
oh,
call
I
it.
Like, it's like the BoJack Horseman like TV show, like Celebrity Who Guessed It. Or celebrities, do they know things?
Yeah,
or do they
no.
know? Let's find out. Like,
IMDb, can they make plot synopses? Let's find out.
Okay. So, first one.
What's the username of this guy?
There is not one.
Oh, what? Okay,
yeah,
fine. Whatever.
Sorry, I apologize. I'll find one with a good username later.
All right.
Okay. Marty McFly's life is a dump. His father, George, is constantly bullied by his supervisor, Biff Tannen, and his mother, Lorraine, is an overweight alcoholic. One day, Marty gets a call from his scientist friend, Dr. Doc Emmett Brown, telling Marty to meet him at Twin Pines Mall at 1:15 a.m., where
nice
Doc unveils... It is.
I'm worried that this plot synopsis will take an hour.
It's almost done, guys. Couple more sentences. where Doc unveils a time machine that runs off plutonium built into a DeLorean and demonstrates it to Mar. What is this plot synopsis?
Is that whole thing a sentence?
No, it's like, it's multiple sentences.
Okay, is it Doc?
No. Okay. Hold on. Marty accidentally activates the time machine, sending him back to 1955, where he accidentally gets in the way of his teenage parents' meeting. Marty must find a way to convince Doc that he is from the future, reunite his parents, and ultimately get back to the future. That was bad.
No, that was good. That was actually, like, pretty solidly, like, what the movie was about.
I think they just concentrated too much of their efforts in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, they were 1:15 a.m.
Right.
DeLorean.
So it's not a synopsis. It's more of, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Right. I think that would have been better if they had not referred to Doc as, like, a scientist friend, and instead as a disgraced nuclear physicist.
Yes, that's the apt description of him. All right, now I'm going to read a shorter one.
Okay.
This is, like, real short, though.
All right, great.
Okay. A young man is accidentally sent 30 years into the past in a time-traveling DeLorean invented by his friend Dr. Emmett Brown, and must make sure his high school-age parents unite in order to save his own existence.
That's pretty good.
It's better.
Yeah. That's better.
Succinct.
Yeah, because it's, like, actually a synopsis.
It's it's basically a movie about the grandfather paradox.
Oh, true, except
there's some weird edible complex stuff that happens.
Just really uncomfortable.
How about we go around, what was your favorite character in this whole thing?
Okay, I call last.
Fine.
Okay.
I called it.
That's fine. There's only three of us.
Not a big deal. I don't know, you or Erica, I don't know.
I think that my favorite character is, oh wow. Yeah, I don't know either. I think it's Biff.
I was gonna say Biff because he's the true hero.
Back to the Future.
Like,
oh, you like future,
I like
present Biff?
I like present, like, rejiggered future Biff.
Because he's so, like, emasculated?
He's so emasculated. This is the guy who was, like, this, like, quintessential school bully. Like, I asked while we were watching it if his name was Spike because he looks like a Spike.
And it was Biff, which
and
is not
was
the
Biff,
better.
And I was like, well, okay, that makes more sense. And basically what happens is, at the very beginning of the movie, you see Biff and he's like, do we have to explain this? I feel like everyone listening to this will see
everyone has seen Back to the Future.
Right. Anyways,
Danielle,
he's like a super...
is throwing me hellish shit.
I am.
I'm just gonna take the microphone and tell...
don't move it.
And tell everyone about Biff. So Biff, at the beginning, is like a grown-up bully. He's like that guy who was in a frat in college
right.
and then went on to, like, own a banking company and be the worst.
Yep.
So he's that guy. Just imagine any person you know who's that, and that's Biff. And basically he, like, bullies Marty McFly's dad, and then when we go back to the past, we see that he also bullied Marty McFly's dad in the past, and just bullied everyone, and was horrible. And then once Marty
had
McFly...
a sweet car, though.
Yeah, so...
Sweet ride. Once Marty fixes everything, he goes back to the future, and Biff is now in a green tracksuit washing his dad's car,
yep.
and is just, like, super afraid of everything that Marty McFly's dad says. And
yep.
his dad, like...
George is a weird dude.
He
just...
George...
Like, everyone in this... All of the adults in this movie are, like...
It's
sad
people! No, it's because they have young actors using prosthetics in the future part.
Yeah.
So
it
looks
weird.
Oh.
Yeah,
it
does. Especially the mom. The mom got the worst end of the deal.
Yeah,
right.
She just, like, got...
They're
like,
how about some wrinkle prosthetics?
Yeah.
And she's like, great, I'd love to imagine my face at 40.
Yeah.
Every
like,
woman's dream.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's, yeah,
this
you're right. But, like, I think that was, there's a point to that. Like, there's a point to the fact that they're all, like, really sad people in the present at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because, like, their lives had not evolved like any of them had wanted. Like, they had all kind of had, like, hopes and dreams
mm-hmm.
when they were younger. And then, like, in the present, like, existence, like, they had not gone well.
Loveless,
like,
marriage, man.
Yeah, like, it was really, that was, like, very sad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, in my mind, like, I thought
like,
this
when
movie,
she was talking about how she fell in love with the dad.
Right.
He was like, and I just knew I was gonna be with him forever. And
yeah.
was, like, really haunted by it.
Well, it was just, it was such a, yeah, she had no agency in that kind of, in that
mm-hmm.
story that she had told at the beginning. I mean, and she didn't gain any agency in the new story.
Yeah.
But at least, like, after that happened, the father was paying attention to her.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, he was not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when, at that first dinner table conversation, when she was telling this, like, kind of nice story, or it was supposed to be played as, like, a nice story
yeah.
that she was telling about how they met, the dad was just off in the distance, like, watching a really dumb TV show.
Yeah,
like,
and he's just laughing really weirdly.
Yeah.
It's like it starts out in a dystopia.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a utopia at the end of, like, the ideal family setting.
Right, right. And it's a movie that, that ties itself together so perfect. Like, so, and it's, it says there's no more complications after this in the present state.
Until Back to the Future 2!
Yeah, until Doc comes at the end of the movie and he's like, we need a cliffhanger! And then he makes, like, he makes something new happen because they're like, this movie is fire. It's gonna have four sequels.
So, quick disclaimer, if listeners couldn't tell already, Daniel loved this film.
Watching him watch it was almost better than watching the movie.
I would say it was better than watching the movie.
I just... Every for me, all the jokes landed because, and not because they were all told well or like that they were set up well.
Like, you bought into it.
Because I bought into it and I knew what they were doing. Like, I don't know what it was at the beginning. I think it was like there was some joke at the very beginning of the movie that I was just like, this is hilarious. And from that moment, I was with it.
Like, his face was great. It was...
I was with it.
See, for me, it's like, I don't think I like the movie because of the actual content of the movie. Like, it's kind of clever, and I'm like, oh, that's funny. The grandfather complex, but now you have a puffy vest on. But it's like, I think the reason that I enjoyed watching it was because it's very nostalgic. Like, it was the film that I would watch with my family.
Right.
You know, it was that and, like, I don't know, Flubber and Ferris Bueller.
You watched Ferris Bueller with your family?
Yeah. I didn't watch Ferris Bueller with my family, but maybe when I was older. Anyways, I'm just saying, like, I think the reason I enjoyed watching this when we watched it was because of nostalgia more than it being, like, a good movie. Like, the plot is fine. They do a fine job. But it's just kind of, like, it's goofy. Like, it's probably one of the goofier movies
I've
seen. Right.
Well, that's what I liked about
aside
it.
Aside from a very goofy movie.
Next up.
What a great title. They had to do it, and I'm okay with it. Like... I liked the movie for that reason, because it was so goofy, and it was very self-aware of its goofiness.
Yeah, there's one time where Doc says, we need to go back to the future, and just stares at the camera.
Right,
and
the camera.
Like, yes, that is what I need.
Right, because the movie is very, it's so self-aware in a way that a lot of movies aren't, like a lot of bad, dumb movies are not self-aware. They're like, this is awesome, this is cool, and... Like,
yeah, it's like bad sci-fi, but it kind of knows it's bad sci-fi, or just like cheesy sci-fi.
Right, and it hams everything
up. They just commit it. It's great.
Like, everything is 300% of what it needs to be, and that was so much fun for me.
Yeah.
Because I, and that's why I was able to, like, buy into the jokes and everything, and even, like, was able to gloss over some of the, like, really problematic racism and sexism and everything.
Let's talk about some of those.
Yeah.
That's a great... Let's just talk about problems with this movie.
Okay, so number one problem is that they took the invention of rock and roll
away from
Chuck Berry.
Yeah,
like,
oh, God.
Oh, no, you can't do that. Like,
they literally gave it to Marty McFly, and he's just like, oh... Just try to keep up, all black musicians. It's like,
musician.
Shit, you can't do that.
No.
Yeah, that was not great.
Yeah. Second, all of the sexual assault that goes on.
Yeah.
The movie.
Oh,
so
Jesus
Christ. Dad was a peeping Tom. They're like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Wasn't cute, but like, we're just gonna glaze over it.
Right.
Yeah, there's so much. And then like, Marty McFly's solution to like, how to get his mom in the past to like, stop crushing on him is to sexually assault her.
I'm going to rape her.
Like, that was literally the thought process.
Horrible!
That is the plot hole that I was like, the nostalgia vanished in that moment. Like, it was just like, what kind of thought? He's like, yes, I'm going to just be really aggressive with her in the car before
prom.
So
then you can save her.
And then you can come and punch me in the face. It's like, what? I personally, right in that moment, could think of like five other paths.
Top five other things Marty could have done.
Let me see. Go to the local milkshake place and throw a milkshake in her face. Let me see. Trip her at prom so her dress gets ruined. You could punch her in the face.
You don't have to traumatize
her. Like, you could just punch her in
the
face.
Or, like, threaten. Oh, well, I guess.
No, we're not. No, like, I'm saying blatantly, punch her in the face. Like, I think she would be disenchanted with you if you did that.
Let's try, yeah.
Other options. Jeez, I don't know. Those are three pretty good ones.
Right. No, yeah, I'm not gonna defend the decision to try to rape.
But then she actually does like.
But then she like tries to rape him. Like,
yeah, she like took off his pants. I was like, that's not okay.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, that part I think they push a little far, and I don't really understand why.
Because it's not necessary at all.
No, it's more creepy than anything.
Yeah, and
some other problems with the film include the portrayal of Libyans.
Yeah. That is a problem. Though I think that's definitely a problem of the time.
That's just cinema.
I mean,
I think the sexual assault thing was also a problem of the time. Right. I don't think people were taking it seriously.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah.
Like, the fact that can be a plot point, like, that's literally the way they advance the plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
twice.
I cannot even think of a movie being like, yeah, what a fun prank. You know? And that's what this movie did, which I think, yeah, that definitely speaks to the time that it was made.
Right, right. And I mean, like, we've kind of evolved as a culture in a way. Like, we hopefully no longer think that's, like, an acceptable
joke.
Like, acceptable joke. But, you know.
We're trying our best.
I think that for me at least, and obviously this is from the heterosexual cis male perspective, like that wasn't a horrible, like, I mean, it was obviously horrible, but I was able to ignore it in a way that maybe other people wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about movies like Grease and stuff too, like there are very
did
like
she put up a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some very like aggressive like sexual undertones, and I think that's a good question. Like, does that, now that we think of that as, like, something that's so wrong, and, you know, it's such a problem on, you know, college campuses and stuff, does that, like, ruin the movie, and can we still, because, you know, Back to the Future and Grease are both huge classics, and I think the classic sometimes, and this tends to happen a lot, will, like, overshadow the problematic elements of it.
I think you have to place it in its time.
Its context,
yeah.
Obviously, if someone made that movie today, you'd be like, that's deeply
You'd be like, ooh, yeah. What?
Also, like even with, like, Annie Hall and, like, the fact that, like, we all really don't like Woody Allen
right now.
Yeah.
Even though he's, like, still making things, like, he's still, like, kind of a
He's, like, a good filmmaker.
Yeah,
he's, like, not
like,
a great person.
Yeah,
though,
you have
like
to be able to, like, separate it a little bit. Like, you can still, like, acknowledge it, but also, like, it's a work, and it kind of takes a life of its own after.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And so, like, if you're able to, you obviously can't let the fact that, like, we've progressed, and you can't, like, regress when you're analyzing a movie and be like, that is okay.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to try to contextualize it and see, like, for what it was.
Yeah.
And because, like, we've evolved, obviously.
Yeah, this movie definitely failed. What is that test called where you have
The Bechdel test?
The Bechdel test. This definitely failed that. I was just thinking, are there any, like, two women in this film? And I was like, wait, it's the, like, dorky sister and the, like, overweight alcoholic mother.
And then his girlfriend who appears at the very beginning and
the very end. Just as literally arm candy.
Yep.
She's like, hey, Marty! And he's like, oh my god, my girlfriend's here. And he's like, BRB, gotta go do the whole plot of the film.
No,
and then he comes back.
Well, he's like, I really want to take her out to the woods and sleep with her in the back of a truck because I'm already a teenager! And, like, that's the whole reason that he's, like, trying to get back to the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I just really want to have sex with my girlfriend in the back of the
truck. So literally, all of the plot points are moved forward by sex because if his mom and dad don't have sex, he doesn't exist.
Right.
If he doesn't have sex, he has no reason to go home.
We just stay here.
Well, he could just stay and have sex with his mom, apparently.
That's,
like,
horrifying.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Oh, God. Yeah, they were really, man, they pushed that.
They were just, like, trying to make you cringe. Be like, oh, my God! I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like, it played really funny because, like, of how infatuated she was with him. And, like, it was one of those things where he became, like, the tropic male, just a very attractive dude who
was
able to do anything, and it played, like, well.
Really cool.
Like, he's just, like, the epitome of cool. Like, everyone just drools
over him.
He invents rock and roll.
Right.
He invents
skateboards.
Right.
He invents skateboards by
breaking
apart a child's scooter. And he's like, hold on, kids, watch. And then he does this thing where he, like, hits it with his foot, and it, like, flips up, and he catches it, and he's like, hold on to this, kid. And you're like, wow, Marty McFly is so cool.
Yeah, and, like, that was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
No, I thought one of the interesting part, when the mom, like, at the dinner table scene, she's like, what kind of girl calls a boy?
Yeah.
What kind of girl does that? And you go back into the past, and she's, like, drinking, and, like, woo, let's have sex, Marty.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, mom.
Yeah. No, it was, there was that whole I thought that was like the fun like parent child dynamic.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was interesting because like all the parents were all like,
yeah,
you should be this way and this
and
way, and then it was very hypocritical.
Yeah,
and maybe that was part of the whole like in the present they were like really regretful of all their decisions that they made as a child, and so they were like trying to encourage their children to make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it was very hypocritical.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's like the interesting balance that you think about with your parents. Like whether they're doing things because, well, they obviously have more life experience than
yeah.
them. And so usually, like, even if the things they say sound absolutely crazy and don't actually make any sense, there's some reason.
There's like a reason behind it, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Shout out to parents.
Woo.
Yeah, shout out parents for dealing
Holland
with like, the Marty McFlys of
this
world.
For you.
And the like Marty McFly's mother in high schools
yeah.
of this world.
Yeah, she was a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, favorite visual effect in this film.
Favorite visual effect.
Because they're pretty bad, but I just want to know what your favorites are.
I loved the trail of fire.
In between their legs?
In between their
Great.
Legs. I thought that was hysterical.
Awesome.
Danielle?
I just like how the car came back, like, cold for no reason.
Yeah.
They were like, it's frozen now. That's science.
Well, and then, like, literally 30 seconds later, it was fine.
Yeah.
When Marty was trying to escape the Libyans.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I think my favorite visual effect is George's haircut.
Oh. The
grossness of, like...
Yeah, it's just, like, it gets worse, and you're like, how? It hasn't changed. It's just every time I look at it, I cringe harder.
He just
yeah.
puts more
it's like,
grease
it's
on it.
It's cut
yeah.
up a little too high,
yeah,
and, like,
that one
really
disgusting
thick.
Strand.
And
yeah, and then it flops, like, it's like an anime cut, but, like, in real
gone
life.
Wrong.
And
it really
looks
bad. It looks really bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
That was...
Not.
And then he's like, fix your hair, and he's like, oh, what do you mean? Like, oh, my God. The thing I think is great about this movie is, like, how strong the like the tropes are. They're just so strong.
Right.
Like you have the nerd.
Yeah.
You have the bully. You have the like hot mom. You have the like cool kid, and then you have the crazy doctor. And those are like characters that we see all the time.
Right.
And it's I don't know. It's just cool to see like people's takes on
right. Well,
those
and I
tropes.
Think I honestly think like that. This is one of those movies that took those tropes and made them like huge.
Yeah.
Because like people still reference Back to the Future
yeah.
and the characters in it and the dynamic between like Marty and the Doctor
mm-hmm.
especially like that's
like the ultimate tag team of like Batman and Robin
right
kind of thing.
Well, and it's the whole base like you both watched Rick and Morty, right?
Mm.
Yeah,
like the inspiration for Rick and Morty was those two characters. It's that like really
but like taken like even farther
right and in that in Rick and Morty the child is a lot less cool and
yeah.
very lame. And the Doctor is actually, like, kind of cool. And so they, like, played with it,
yeah.
obviously. But that's the basic inspiration. It was, like, an updated version of Back to the Future where everything was way more intense. And there was, like, the possibilities of the science were just
yeah.
much harder.
Oh, let's talk about just, like, the science.
The crazy science.
Yeah, let's list all of the if anyone listening, hi, Mom, is a scientist. My mom's not a scientist, she's a therapist, but
let's
if anyone
about,
is,
let's talk about flux capacitor.
Yeah, right?
One.
Let's just list 1. Out the science that
gigawatts.
We are, like, I'm so I'm an English major,
right.
I don't know, but, like, if
I'm
anyone
a science
does,
adjacent major.
Yeah, so, like,
econ, it's math.
Yeah, so, like, if anyone here knows anything about particle physics or physics
I'm
or
sure it was
time,
all correct. I'm sure they
great.
Vetted all
Here's,
of the facts. I'm sure.
I'm just wondering what the process is like going into a sci-fi movie, you know? Like, how
I
much research
like,
do you do and how much do you spend just using the plot and then being like, oh, maybe science?
Well, obviously the plot is more important than
yeah,
science.
But I feel like back in the day it didn't matter as much. They were like, you know, and you drive and it goes into the... But now with, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's just sitting there all day, like, that's
right.
wrong. That's
right.
science. Shut up. But, like...
and the thing is, like, if it's a good movie, it should be able to be a good movie based on the story, and the science is not that important. As long as it's not, like, perpetuating the idea that this is real science.
Yeah.
Which is not what this movie is doing. This movie is very obviously...
I'm kidding.
Erica just made a face like, oh, no! Like, no. It's
disagree. Like, if I were to strike a lightning rod and go 80
If
miles.
I were to attach a wire to a clock tower and then that same wire to another wire strung between two light posts,
you tell me
and
I
then
time travel.
Yes.
And then drive a car
because you
with
didn't
another
mention
wire.
Anything about flux capacitors, which are extremely important.
They're
having plutonium. Oh, well, you wouldn't need the plutonium.
Also,
the
yeah,
energy.
Let's just talk
it's
about
the same
that
amount
he
of
stole
energy.
The plutonium from Libyans.
Right!
everything is like
this. How did he get in contact with them to make a bomb? The thing was he was supposed to make a bomb for the Libyans, and he just like didn't do that and stole the plutonium.
And he was like, aha, those Libyans, ah, I got them.
Idiots.
And then they come back with a bazooka and you're like, well, there's a stereotype. There's awesome. It's funny though, because you just get carried away in the plot that you kind of like forget about all those like silly things, which I think is what makes the movie good, you know?
Right.
Like you forget that like, oh, if a car comes back from the future, it shouldn't be an ice cube. That makes no sense.
Right. Well, and what I honestly loved about this movie, I just loved that everything paid off. There, except for maybe the detail about the fact that he stole the plutonium, every single thing that they set up had a payoff.
Yeah.
Like the flyer that they gave about the clock tower had a payoff. Mm-hmm. The skateboard thing had a payoff, like the fact that he was skateboarding
like
and holding the movie theater had a payoff. There were
the
so
mayor,
many things.
Like,
the movie like literally spends the first hour throwing up baseballs and the second hour like just knocking them out of the park.
Yeah.
It is. That's, I used a sports metaphor because that's how strongly I feel about this movie. I thought that was great.
Wow.
That's the only thing that I could find appropriate.
They do have great setups.
They do.
Yeah.
They
do.
It just, and I, that's why like every joke for the movie felt earned.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun to watch.
Right.
Because you're like, oh, and she said the thing, and then, yeah. It's
and I feel like if I watched this movie again, there would be more that I picked up. And that wouldn't make the movie, like, any better. That doesn't make the movie, like, it doesn't make a movie better that it holds up with multiple watches. But, like,
yeah,
it,
you enjoyed it the first time, like, whatever, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. It was
yeah.
great. I thought, I just had so much fun watching it.
Yeah.
That was my thing. I don't know.
Yeah, he had the time of his life.
He really did.
I did!
This is a great segue to overrated or underrated. I'm
really about to look that up.
Yeah,
hold
what
on,
is the
Paul.
What is the ranking on IMDb for
I'm
this
I'm
movie?
Looking,
that is
looking,
a great
looking,
question.
I'm looking.
Because I think it's probably like 8. It's 8,
eight?
Point something.
Oh,
right?
I thought you meant like 8.
No, wait, maybe it's like 7 point something. Because it's not, it's definitely like the top movie is like an 8 point something, right?
It's like 8.7, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So it's probably a 7. It's a high 7 probably on IMDb.
Do you guys want to guess the number?
Well, tell us what the rating is first.
It's actually 8.5.
Wow.
Because Shawshank is 9. I still can't believe Shawshank is 9.
I haven't seen
it's
Shawshank.
It's 9.2. It's a good movie. Like, I enjoyed it, but, like, I would not make it number one.
I haven't seen it either.
Okay. Well,
we'll watch it at some point.
Okay.
Obviously.
It'll be at some point one
yeah.
of the ones. I'm guessing it's probably, like, in the... It's between 50 and 100.
Yeah. 56.
I'd say 70.
It's 44.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, so...
Can we get some context for other movies? That
yeah,
are,
like, what's right above it?
The pianist?
Pianist?
The pianist?
The pianist? No, it's pianist.
The pianist?
Pianist.
The person who plays the piano.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pianist.
Got
pianist.
It.
And then above that is The Departed, which
is a great Animaniacs
above
cartoon.
That is what?
The Departed, which if you guys didn't know, is like the gold standard for this podcast.
Oh.
Anyway, like every time, Chris and I would be like, yeah, it's no Departed, though. It's no Departed. And then the worst one is Intouchables. That's, yeah. But anyway, 45 is Whiplash. And then Gladiator.
Whiplash?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whiplash is good, too.
Okay.
44.
Well, okay, if I'm rating it based on its nostalgia factor, I would say it's like... probably around the right place. If I was rating it on, like, if this, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little overrated for what it is.
I agree. I think 44 is too high up on the list.
Really?
I'd bring it down to 50 or something.
I like where it is, actually.
Okay.
I like where it is just because, like, it's like I was saying, it's one of those things, like, everyone has seen this movie.
Sure.
Like, it is Back to the Future.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess we don't really have, like, a, like, one rating system for all
right.
the movies.
Well,
like
yeah.
I would say Whiplash is just a phenomenally like cinematography wise it's awesome, plot wise it's awesome,
yeah.
music wise it's awesome. So I would put it up high, but like Back to the Future is awesome because it's so nostalgic and it's like
iconic
so
and, like,
80s. Oh
yeah.
my god.
Yeah.
Puffy
very
vest,
firmly.
And you have like so many references that are made in other movies to
side
it.
Side note.
Exactly.
Love the joke where he was wearing the puffy vest and everyone
was
like,
in the Navy?
Are you like, did you just come off the ship? Like, I thought
is
that was
that?
Hilarious.
He's like, this is fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't get you. Like,
I think it's a little overrated.
Yeah, I agree.
In general, as a film.
I think it's probably more overrated than you think it is, which I think is funny because
yeah,
I loved it. But 44 seems way high.
Yeah.
I'm completely fine with 44.
I think I thought it would be like 80 or something. Or
really?
Like 80 or
90. Yeah, I was expecting
yeah.
somewhere.
No, I think the nostalgia factor.
Closer
like,
to 100.
How iconic it is,
sure.
it is plays like very much into it.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. All right.
Cool.
We need an outro in all our podcasts where we say, like,
plug things.
But, like, you should also say that, like, John Block is the podcast editor and
or
that stuff.
The podcast god.
Why the podcast
god. Do we need credits?
Here's yeah, I
the
think
outro.
We need
take
podcast.
It away,
I think
Danielle.
We need credits. Yeah.
We need credits?
Yeah. Here, okay. You can start it and I'll hum a tune underneath you.
All right, do it. Ready? Follow us on Twitter at G-Town Voice. You're like over me. You're too loud. Bring it down. At G-Town Voice and at Halftime GU.
Not in
go on GeorgetownVoice.com to read more things and also click on the Halftime button to, you know, like listen to more podcasts, listen to more leisure articles, read more leisure articles, and have a good time.
You can follow us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Erica A. Bullock.
Mine's DNHewitt96.
Mine is DRVARG01.
That was beautiful. I loved that. And then,
I think we're good. Thanks for listening to the 250.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.